Welcome to the Consume Church Weekly Podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message entitled, Take Your Place, Transform Your World by Pastor Matthew. For any further information on the ministries of Consume Church, you can check us out at theconsumechurch.com. This is not our prophetic night, but this is a taste of what February 6th will be like. And, you know, kind of in the video that I put out, I also had shared some things that the Lord had spoken to me about 2022. And that's really where I wanted to start and kind of springboard off of Margie, because, you know, Margie had come to me out, before the service and was just kind of letting me know where she thought she might be going and what the Lord had been speaking to her. And I just had to pull out my notes and start showing her my notes. And she says, well, I don't want to preach your message. I said, no. Let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Yeah. But what I had heard for, one of the things I had heard for 2022 was that this was a year of 2020 take two. In other words, what was 2020 like for you? You know, if I look back to 2020, that was a year that we're starting to get this church going online. I had just been on staff for a couple of months. Oh, sorry. Hey, baby girl. This is what 2020 was like. It was working with my daughter. It was working with my children. It was trying to do Zoom calls and in meetings with children in hand. And, yeah, that's what 2020 was like. If, you know, my wife is a teacher and they tried bringing her school virtual learning. So here we are. My wife's trying to teach class while my daughter's on my laptop or my iPad trying to have class. And I'm trying to figure out how to get us online. And, you know, all the challenges that we faced in 2020, you know, there was separation. Some, you know, some people couldn't see their families because of geographical land borders, say between Mexico and the United States or Canada and the United States. Or, you know, this whole thing was new and people didn't want to travel, not knowing what COVID would do to them or their families. So there was separation. And there was just a lot of anxiety and a lot of pain. And what I felt like the Lord said is that 2022 is a take two. It's a redo year. And the Lord is going to restore and give double for your trouble. So for many that had maybe small businesses or had lost jobs or gotten furloughed or laid off, there was a time of suffering lack. And I feel like the Lord is going to bring double to our trouble. We need to lean into and take hold of what he is saying. Amen? Now also, in line with that, I also feel like the first 3 weeks of 2020 look like, or the first 3 weeks of 2022 look like 2020, at least for me and my house, right? If I could be honest, you know, my wife and I, our anniversary is December 31st, and we'd like to take that time and just pray and seek the Lord and get vision and direction for this next year, for the next year. And we had a great time. We had a great time of just seeking the Lord and getting, you know, getting words for what we believe 2022 was going to be like for our family. And part of that was that it's going to be a year of health, physical health, financial health, spiritual health, and mental health. Well, we woke up January 1st and she had a 103 fever. You see, what's the enemy do? He comes to try to steal the word that God says. And you know, time went on and here we are 3 weeks in, and a week or 2 weeks ago we had COVID come through the house and my wife, myself, all that. So does that look like a year of health? No, the way it started, I know many of us had gotten hit with some COVID or some flu or whatever the case may be. You see, but if we will, the enemy wants to come and discourage us. He wants to come and steal the promise of God and try to sprinkle in a little bit of his stuff and get us to start saying, oh, this, here we go again. Here we go again. Just, you know, here we go. Sickness, COVID, all that. No, that's a lie. Yeah. 2022 will be a year of victory. Amen. The second word that the Lord had given me for 2022 is it is the year of the ecclesia. It's the year of the church. And today I want to talk about the church a little bit, the ecclesia. I'm going to break that down. The title of my message is Take Your Place, Transform Your World. I feel like I talk about transformation a lot, but I love that. What can I say? I really love transformation. You know, we're called to not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I believe that as we grow and we develop and we mature in the Lord, as our minds are transformed, the things that we do, the places that we go can also be transformed. Amen? So take your place, transform your world. I've shared some of this before, but this is kind of where I'm going to start. It's a brief testimony of where I was, and it's going to lead into where we're going, but I didn't have a paradigm for church. I, you know, maybe went to church a couple Easters, a couple Christmases type thing, not even every year. But that was my grid for church. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I didn't grow up knowing about Jesus. I didn't hear Bible stories or go to Bible school or Sunday school or any of those things. So when I got saved in 2007, I want to say I was somewhere around 22, 23 years old. People are talking about these Bible stories that, you know, my kids now know at 2 and 4 years old, and I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't know about Noah and the ark. I didn't know about Samson. I didn't know about just your typical Bible stories of David and Goliath. I had no grit. I had no idea about any of that. So I got hungry, and I started reading the Bible. So I started in Genesis, and I'd read every night. And I was making really good progress till I hit Leviticus. And I said, man, this is hard. I don't understand this. I said, so I talked to somebody and they said, you know, you need to start in the Gospels. I said, all right, where's that? What's that? I said, go start in Matthew. So I read Matthew. I said, that was good. Get through Mark, get through Luke. By the time I get to John, I said, man, I feel like I've read the same thing 2 or 3 times. Did they make a mistake and reprint my Bible? I had no idea that there were 4 Gospels. I didn't understand that. That's the level of education or biblical literacy I had at that time. I thought they made a mistake printing my Bible and put the same story 4 times just under different people's names. But when I got to the book of Acts, it really got my attention. But I was a little bit confused. Because I'd read through the book of Acts and I saw the power in the church, and then I looked at the church that I was attending at the time. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not here to attack the church. Listen, that's the church. They did what I needed. In other words, if it wasn't for that church, I may not have gotten born again. I had an encounter with Jesus in that place, so I'm not criticizing it. But I am looking at it and evaluating it. In other words, if the Word of God is really what we need to conform to, why don't we do that with our own lives? So I'm not trying to be critical towards any church, any building, any organization in any way. We need them all. We're all doing a part, right? But if the Word of God is final authority, then we need to evaluate our lives and church by it. This is the blueprint, right? So that's where I'm going with the basis of this message. And I honestly was confused. I didn't understand how we got from the first century church to the building that I was attending on Sundays. You know, it was six or seven services a weekend, you know, mega church type deal. Spent a lot of money on the set every week. And, that message is what brought me into the kingdom. Okay, but it was like trying to stick a round peg in a square hole. I just did not understand how we got from first century to the building. Okay? So what I want to ask you is, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of church? When you hear the word church, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Is it a building? Is it Consumed? Is it Gateway? Is it Shady Grove? Is it... What is the first thing that comes to mind? Now, I know there's a group of people, maybe you've ran into one or two of them before, says, oh, I don't go to church, I am the church. I've heard that too, and a lot of times that's people that have been offended or hurt by the church, and they're kind of lone rangers doing their own thing. So I'm not saying that's the answer either. Right? There's a ditch on both sides, and if we stay in the middle of the lane, we'll be all right. Okay? What is your conviction about your responsibility as a child of God? What is your conviction about your responsibility as a child of God? Is this building the church that we all come to once a week? Is that the church? Because we live in a culture, or a culture was created that we were immersed into, which we think that going to church weekly and maybe even serving on the usher team or serve team or worship team, that by doing those things, we're fulfilling our religious duties. And I want to challenge that thought. So by going to church, we get our weekly shot in the arm, kind of like a booster shot, and we think we're okay until the next booster comes out the following Sunday. I think, as so many of us have seen over the last 3 weeks, that doesn't work. A little bit of pun intended there. Let's take a look at what the word church was translated from and what it means. The word church was translated from the Greek word ekklesia. At one time, it was translated to the word assembly, but King James translated it to church. And there's some thought on why he did that, which I won't go into. But this, I think, is where the breakdown happened. Okay? The word ekklesia, it describes a body of people assembled to conduct governmental business. The ekklesia was not religious. It was not a religious term. It was first developed as a ruling assembly of citizens in the Grecian democracy to govern cities and states. It consisted of men 18 years or older who had done 2 years of military service. They were people substantially committed to their communities. I would say it this way: they were active and invested in their communities. You see, when Jesus came, he chose to use the word ekklesia, which was a secular term. He could have said, I'm coming to build my synagogue. He says, I'm coming to build my temple, which were religious organizations. But no, he says, I'm coming to build the ekklesia. He didn't need to explain the ekklesia. Everybody in that day knew what it was. He didn't need to explain it so much that he only used the word ekklesia 3 times in Scripture. And 2 of them were in 1 verse. But when he came, he talked about the kingdom of God, and he spoke about the kingdom of God more than 100 times. It was a word, the ekklesia, it was a word that was used in Greek and Roman empires to refer to a secular institution, not a religious one, and it was operating in Marco. And I woke up and I said, I'm curious to what attendance is going to be like today. You know, because we don't want to get out and get our hair wet and drive in the rain. But imagine places that have no buildings. You know, I'm a part of churches in Africa. I had one brother that was walking, I don't remember exactly, but somewhere between 6 and 8 hours one way to come to one of our pastor's meetings. He did that for 3 years every month. Rain, mud, uphill, downhill. You know, I know Alan has shared, he's done some of that. Him and his family have done some of that. And Bolivia, I've done some of that. So with that guy, after a couple years, and he just kept showing up, I said, where's his church? He says, oh, he doesn't have one. So why is he coming to the pastor's meeting? He's hungry. Good, let's plant a church through him. That qualifies you. To me, he's qualified. He sat under these apostolic teachings and come this far and sacrificed this much without food or water. He's a pastor, at least. So we planted a church, and you know what that means? I got the opportunity to walk to where his home is. I took my motorbike, because I've got 2 motorbikes in Kenya, and I took my motorbike from our little village to as far as we could reach. before the mountains got too steep. Found somebody's house that we could park it at. And I don't remember, it was 2 or 3 hours walking one way, got there. Then the rain came and it made walking back a lot harder. Had to cross over a little stream and walk through the mud and all of that to get there. But how far are we willing to go to reach the people? Yeah. So we're not against the buildings. We've got a really nice one. Thankfully, we do. Makes it real nice to be able to change the temperature, be comfortable. Or is that a digression too? The ecclesia was made up of individuals who operated 24/7 from house to house all over town as a transforming organism, not a static institution. Jesus didn't teach about the ecclesia because his audience understood it. The way that we understand democracy, they understood ecclesia. Instead, Jesus focused on teaching on the kingdom of God. He referenced the kingdom over 100 times and the ecclesia only 3 times. His ultimate objective was not to reproduce or expand religious institutions. It was to see nations discipled by inserting the leaven of his kingdom into their social fiber through the ecclesia. You see, what have we been teaching about? What have we been moving towards over the last year and a half, 2 years, is mobilizing every member for ministry. Helping each and every one of you discover the gifts, the graces, the anointings on your life. Help you to dream and find out what your destiny is and then come alongside of you and help you walk in it. We're shifting. Like Margie was saying, we're shifting. We're moving in that direction. I think I started to say this, but the Lord told me that this was the year of the ecclesia. It was the year of the church. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I feel like this is the year that you need to step into, get in line with what God is doing. Or you're going to be left on the sidelines watching what God is doing. And I don't mean this critically, but if we think about, you know, Moses, and he never entered fully into the promise, but he watched it from the sidelines. See, if we do believe that this is, a time, a season of the billion soul harvest, man, I want to be on the front lines of that. I want to be a player in that game, so to speak. I've got some stuff in Africa, and it's just how God's speaking to me right now about it, but it's along the same lines. I've been discipling these pastors for over 11 years, and I don't feel like I've really been able to, I feel like they've come as far as they can come. In other words, the paradigm, if you want to say their education, their paradigm, their religious culture, their natural culture, all of those things are playing against them, and I'm having trouble getting them to step into what God is doing. And I feel like this year, the Lord has told me not to give up on them, but to spend most of my time and energy discipling the next generation. And I feel like it's kind of like with Moses, that they've come as far as they can come. And there is no condemnation for that. They've carried the torch, but it's time to pass the torch to the next generation because they can't or won't come any further. And I feel like it'll be that same thing for those that don't step into and align themselves with what God is doing in this season. Again, there's no condemnation. You'll make it into heaven. It's not about that. I'm talking about really functioning and living in your purpose and your destiny, being satisfied and fulfilled every day of your life. That's what this is about. It's not just, right, we're not just trying to get into heaven. There's so much more. See, it's as we become the church, as we become the ecclesia, as we become that assembly of governing authority in the earth, that we begin walking in the power and the authority that Jesus has given us, and we begin walking in our purpose. Right? Take your place, transform your world. In order to transform your world, you have to take your place in the body. Right? Living stones. We're living stones being put together. We've got to take our place in the body. And we'll be able to transform our world. The temple and the synagogue, which were the religious assemblies, were static institutions that functioned in buildings that members had to go to on specified occasions. Whereas the ecclesia was a buildingless, mobile people movement designed to operate 24/7 in the marketplace for the purpose of having an impact on everybody and everything. Are you tracking with me? This is not just a play on words, the Greek word versus the English word. This requires, as Margie said, a paradigm shift. And Margie didn't have my notes because I just printed them a few minutes ago. This is what God is saying. This is what I mean by let it be established in the mouth of two or more witnesses. This is Margie coming to me saying, hey, this is what I'm hearing. I said, well, let me show you what I just printed. And it's in line. Okay, so this requires a paradigm shift and more than just mental assent to agreeing with this message, but an action step after the message to become what Christ died for and intended us to become. Transformers. Ones that transform our homes, our neighborhoods, our cities, our states, our country, and our nations, and the nations. If you will take your place, you will transform your world. What's that mean? Let's break this down to a practical level. What is your world? What is a place? Where are the places that you have been given authority in? I like to say it starts in the home. See, the home is the first place. If, you know, Paul goes through and kind of the T-books of the New Testament. A lot of the T-books are where he's talking about kind of the qualifications for elders and leaders and rulers, so to speak. But a lot of it, if we look at those things, it all starts with what's your house like? What's your family like? Some people want a platform. You know, they want to prophesy to the nations or get on stage and preach or prophesy to the church or whatever the case may be. Hey, let's start in our house. That let's rule and reign there. That's the first place that we're given authority, and really that's our first responsibility. When I was in Mexico, most of you know I was there for 2.5 years. We were seeing amazing, amazing, amazing moves of God. I'm talking 80 to 90% of the people instantaneously healed with verifiable miracles on the spot. Not just going by faith, I receive my healing, I believe I'm healed, I'll get it as I go. No. Verifiable change in their bodies, tumors disappearing, scoliosis healed, legs growing out, deaf ears, blind eyes, mute, just you name it, all of it. We had John Arnott, Dan Slade, they were coming down twice a year and we're doing big crusades with them. And right before I left, Heidi was coming down and I was one of the key leaders in that ministry. I was with them sitting at Burger King with John Arnott, having conversations and doing apostolic round table meetings, all these things. I said, Lord, am I crazy for leaving Mexico? Look who I'm rubbing shoulders with. Look who I'm receiving impartation from. Look how much I'm... He says, what are you in this for? Who you can rub shoulders with? I said, I'm done. Yes, Lord, I'm gone. Okay? So I said all of that. And I said, the other thing I said to the Lord was, because things were getting really intense. I mean, we were doing some days 18, a few days, not all the time, but some days were 18-hour days, just eating one meal, just going, 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 going. And my wife's health kind of started deteriorating in some ways. And I said, Lord, I know there's a cost to revival, but I don't believe it's supposed to cost me my family. And at the time, she was pregnant with Zoe. He says, you're right, it's not. He says, that's what this next season is about. He says, I want the revival that happens through you to be the fruit of what takes place in your house. And that's what I came to DFW for. That was the focus, was how can I disciple my family? How can the fruit of my house, how can I have revival in my house? And the fruit of that is what spreads through me. And I think we're starting to see a glimpse of that. You know, I look at my daughter. She's 4. She's human, right? She's definitely not perfect. But I'll catch her walking around the house just praising God with songs that we sung the previous Sunday when she's just here coloring or playing or maybe being a distraction. She's receiving impartation just by sitting here. And she'll be walking around the house singing and worshiping. We need to start in our house. And then from there, what other areas of influence do we have? Maybe our workplaces on some level. Maybe when we go to Kroger or Starbucks or, right? We need to start. That's our world, right? We think about the big, going to the nations. And I know a couple of us in this room have our hearts burning for the nations while others are perfectly happy right here in this nation. And that's okay. That's the uniqueness of the diversity of the body. But how can we transform our world? We'll get into some more of that in a minute. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. This is one of the two verses that Jesus talked about, the ecclesia, or the church. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I'm going to pause there for a minute. Who do you say that he is? If we have that constant revelation of who he is, it'll give us the fire to transform our world. But if we're living on yesterday's bread, if we're trying to eat stale bread or who the pastor or who somebody else said that he is, who is he to you? Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. This is a key verse, obviously. But it's funny. I just love us telling Margie how, you know, just confirmation is so God when you know you're in the flow. Margie had this confirmation, and this morning, you know, hey, mornings are hard when you got three littles. When you got three littles, mornings are hard. Trying to get everybody dressed, trying to get out of the house, trying to get everybody's shoes on and, you know, all of that. Trying to get in the car, trying to get here early enough, you know. So my mind's running 100 miles an hour and I get in the car and I go. And I guess Shawnee was in the car yesterday and had Christian radio on. I don't listen to radio. I just keep my worship on my phone. So when I get in the car, it just pops on. But she had the FM thing on. And it was just real low, but as I'm going and just pulling out of my neighborhood, I hear the guy talking. I don't even know who it was, but he's like, Matthew chapter 16. And he starts reading these verses. Guys, wait a minute. Try to get the kids to be quiet and turn up the radio so I could hear what he's about to say. See if I could borrow any of it from my message. But just when you're in his flow and the confirmation is there, so it just blessed me to see that this morning, that just happened to be the moment that I got in the car and was pulling out just enough that my mind can unwind and disconnect and start to listen, that he just says, Matthew 16. So here Jesus says, and also verse 18, and also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. What's the rock? It's the revelation of Christ, right? He's not building it on Peter. I also say to you, on the revelation of Christ, I will build my church. I will build the ecclesia. Okay? And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The ecclesia, the church, is the most powerful institution in the world. Have we digressed? We are the most, you are the church. If we haven't gotten that far, let me just say it. The church is you, the people. You are the most powerful institution in the world. When we come together in unity, when we take our place in the body, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Now do you understand why it's so important to transform your house? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom, to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Church, you have a responsibility. If you're seeing things in your house, if you're seeing things in your neighborhood, if you're seeing things in your city, your country, it's not up to somebody else. It's up to us. It's up to us. There's this guy, Bill Winston, this guy, he's a minister, man of God, and he shares a testimony that one of his church members, I think he was in Chicago, and one of his church members came to him and said, we just moved into this neighborhood and all the drug dealers are up all night doing stuff and whatever, whatever in the streets. And I don't want to let my kids go outside. You know, I don't know what could happen, et cetera, et cetera. He says, go get a gallon of olive oil. So we're going to pray over it. And you go draw a line. Took the bottle of oil, prayed, put the oil around the neighborhood. Next morning, and that day forward, never saw those drug dealers again. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If we're seeing things that aren't supposed to happen, I think Pastor John preached a message 3 or 4 weeks ago on righteousness, on what doing what's right and seeing what's right. Yeah? If things are out of alignment, it's our job to get them into alignment. We don't need to strong arm it. We need to take our place as sons and daughters. I thought about this. You know, in the corporate world, you have you know, what do they call them? Like regional managers and all that. You know, and say at Lowe's, you know, you'd know when the regional managers were coming in town because everybody was walking on eggshells and everything had to be perfect that day. It always bothered me. So why can't we do this every day? why does it have to be only when the boss is coming, right? But when that boss walks in, that boss is smiling. She's not heavy-handed or he's not heavy-handed. And that's how we need to rule and reign, right? When we come into a place, we need to see things come into alignment, but not in a religious, mad, angry, no, with the authority that's been given to us in Christ Jesus, with the love of God, and with the power and the authority that he's given us. How is he building his ecclesia? How did Jesus build the ecclesia? Through discipleship, through relational growth and people development. How can we be a part of that? Following his example. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Something important, or a key point here, is when I started in verse 13, it said when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, something to understand about Caesarea Philippi, I don't think it was a coincidence that Jesus revealed the ecclesia at this time, because it was a town founded by Romans. It was a major center of occult worship. They had the Temple of Caesar, which represented the evil entrenched in government, the Temple of the God of Pan, which was idolatry, and the gates of Hades, which was the devil himself. And it was actually a physical place. It was a cave where human and animal sacrifices were offered. So here Jesus is saying, I'm giving you authority where the things that are being made in blood covenant with these with the devil and demons, they will not prevail against you. That you have authority over that. You have more power than that. The gates of Hades represent Satan's domain. It's run by demonic deputies who enforce his control or influence over specific regions in society through governments and culture molders such as education, the arts and entertainment, and commerce. We have a responsibility, church. We have a responsibility. Our job is to restore what was lost through Adam and Eve's disobedience. You see, so many people talk about, well, why do bad things happen? Why does it? Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. There is still, because of the exchange that took place when Adam gave rule over to the enemy, there's a legal right. Well, it's our job and our responsibility to restore what's been taken. Jesus has given us the authority. He got the keys. Revelation 1:18, I am he who lives. Though I was dead, look, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. And he's given us the keys of the kingdom. What if Jesus turned the keys of Hades into the keys of the kingdom so that we could use them to set free what the enemy has used to hold captive? What are we waiting for, church? We're not waiting for him. He's waiting for us. Restoration. Our job is to restore. What areas? Again, it starts with our house. Hey, you want a good place to practice? Practice at home. Greatest opportunity to walk in love is at home. With your spouse, with your kids. Greatest opportunity to forgive and take no offense is at home. You know, where do you practice? Where do you practice painting? Where do you practice baseball? Before you get on the field to go do these things, practice in a safe place, in a private place. You know, if I were to paint, I'd do it at home so nobody could see. But this is the place that we start, a place of relationship. And then once we do it in our house, the next place is the church. We get to have opportunities to walk in forgiveness with our brothers and sisters in church. Opportunities to love brothers and sisters in church. You want to start to grow and develop in the spiritual gifts. Do it at home. Do it at church. Then you have more accountability, confidence, comfortable, whatever, to step out into the marketplace. To begin to transform your world in the workplace. Kroger, at Starbucks, wherever you're going. I just heard a testimony in our group Wednesday night. I don't remember the full details of it, but basically this couple got a couple people together and says, hey, we're going to go out to dinner and we're just going to, our intention, and I'm paraphrasing, but our intention is just to be a blessing. So we ask that, you know, whatever you order, whatever the case may be, just bring an extra $100 and that's going to be the tip. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and seek God as to where we should go. And there were 10 of them that went. So they go to eat dinner. They ask the waitress, hey, how can we pray for you? Man, I'm really, now mind you, they already had their plan in place, but how can we pray for you? Just pray that my rent gets paid this month. Well, there's 10 of them out there with $100 ready for tip. They just start laughing. They have their meal. They have fun. They pray for her. At the end of the meal, they bless her with the $1,000 tip. Her rent. She just said, you've changed my world. That's one way to bring transformation. I remember Todd White was saying, it'd been a while, I don't remember if he said 50% or 100%, but that was his minimum anytime he went out to tip. He says, you know, it might change the places you eat and the frequency you eat out, but I won't go eat out if I don't tip whatever it was, 50 or 100%. Talk about changing somebody's world. Those are simple ways. Those are little ways. They cost you something. But if we're going to become the church, if we're going to become the ecclesia, the body, the assembly that's ruling and reigning, and really start to bring transformation to our communities, these are some real practical beginning entry-level ways into how. I'm finishing up here. Some of the things the Lord said about the year of the ecclesia, this was something that just came out of my spirit, and I just texted it to Pastor John a week or so ago, just over some of the things. You know, you remember when Prophet Norm was coming, and we had to reschedule because he had appendicitis, and then we rescheduled him, and then a couple days before he flew out, his wife got sick and had to go into the hospital, and Pastor John just says, no, I think this is a kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force moment. And we zoomed him in and did the prophetic conference through Zoom. And what I got in my spirit is this is a season, right? Because then I think when Augie was coming, you know, we had some COVID stuff break out and elders and people were sick with that. And Michael Brodeur's coming and some of the same thing. And I just said, you know what? I believe that this is a season of the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. The status quo of Christianity and playing church is over. And that's what I was talking about, sitting on the sidelines. Either you're going to get in the game and put on the pads and get ready, put on your Ephesians 6, armor of God, or you're just going to sit on the sidelines and watch and be passed by. But it's time that what we bind will be bound and what we loose will be loosed. It's time that we become the gatekeepers and we must stand watch on our posts as the watchmen. And when we see things trying to come against our house or come against our city, we shut them down. So let's close with this. Let's look at Ephesians 6. We're going to look at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Yeah? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Church, we're not powerless. We've been given authority. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. We are the answer. You are the answer. We need to rule and reign. We need to stand in our posts, whatever places of authority we've been given. We need to stand on our post. Take watch over our house. Over our children, young or old, doesn't matter. You may not have a 2-year-old at home. Most of you don't. But you've got older children. Still need us to stand watch. Can God give you a word of warning for your children? Maybe the other side of the country, the other side of the world? Hey, don't do that. You're about to make a decision. I don't know what it is, but the Lord told me, don't make that decision. Just be patient, stand firm, and wait 3 months. That's how the gifts operate. I've got a pastor in a refugee camp in South Sudan, and he's got some issues going on with his kidneys, and he's spending a bunch of money and going to doctors, and I'm just texting him back and forth, and it just drops in my spirit. Stop going to the doctors. Drink 1 liter of water for 30 days. That's insane. Where did that come from? I don't know, but I'm just going to lean into it. He's day 15, so we'll see what happens in 15 more days. I'm believing he's going to be totally healed. I have no idea where that thought came from. I mean, I do. It's the Lord. I don't know what I'm telling him to do. I'm just trusting in what the Lord is saying. How much do we have that same authority over our house, over our children, over... We need to start... Let's do this, church. Let's stand up. I want to do an action step, right? This is... This requires a paradigm shift and more than just mental assent. I don't want to leave today and just have mental assent. Yes, we are the church. I've heard messages like this. And no. We need to really take a step. Yeah? This is not just mental assent, agreeing with this message, but an action step after the message to become what Christ died for and intended us to become. Transformers. One that transforms our homes, our neighborhoods, our cities, our states, our country, and the nation. If you will take your place, you will transform your world. Listen, the enemy wants to get us tired. Right? The first 3 weeks of this year, for my house at least, we're tired. We're just tired. Somebody's been sick. Somebody's this. Somebody's that. I'm just tired. I just want to sleep. That's what the enemy wants you to do, because when you're tired, you don't have the focus to stand firm. You don't have the energy to stand firm. And if you're willing to, I don't want everybody to do it if you're not willing, but if you're willing to say, no, I see this. You know what? There's areas in my family, there's areas in my finances, there's areas in my life that I've gotten lazy, that I have not been the church, that I have not stood my ground in my place of authority. You see, think about it like a gate into a city or your front door. You know, when somebody comes knocking on my door, really any time, but especially 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, it's not my 4-year-old that goes and answers the door. It's not my wife that goes and answers the door. It's usually me. Not alone either. You see, I stand and I take authority over my house that before I open that door, I look out the window, but before I open the door, I'm going to see what's trying to come in. Now, spiritually, there are things that have been trying to come into your life or have come into your life, into your house, into your relationship with your spouse, into your family, into your business, into your job, into your workplace, into your relationships with friends and families. And if you want to shut it down, let's be the church. Let's be the ecclesia. Let's be the assembling, the assembly, the governing authority in the land that says no more. No more. So if that's you, let's make this declaration together. Or actually, we'll pray this after me. Father, I recognize that there are areas in my life, areas in my house, my business, whatever applies to you, your workplace, that I have allowed things to come in that should not have come in. And right now, I ask for forgiveness. I repent for not standing my ground, for not being the authority that you have made me to be. For not ruling and reigning with the authority that you have given me. And Father, from this day forward, I will keep watch. I will stand. And I will walk in the authority that you've given me. I ask that you give me boldness, as Paul asked for, to transform my world. I will be your church. And I believe you for complete transformation. I ask for mercy. I ask for restoration. And I ask that you protect my children, my assets, and my own life and health as I come into alignment and I shift to align with your plan and your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. We got work to do, church. I think, you know, with just everything that's happened over the last 2+ years, there's kind of been a laziness, a laxness, as Margie prophesied, a going backwards, a reversing. Yeah, if you're not moving forward, there really is kind of no idol in the kingdom. You're either advancing or you're going backwards. Yeah, and I'm thankful that we have leaders in this house and corporately within the church, globally, that have really, when they've done all they know to stand, they've stand there for. Yeah, but there's only so much of the line that they can hold. And there's only so long that they can hold it. But if we all come together as the church, as the ecclesia, as the governing body, as the assembly, and hold the line together and lock hands, say over our house, over our city, over our state, over this nation, these things will not. If we look at the things in education, the stuff that's being taught in schools, all those things, it's because the church wasn't being the ecclesia. We've given place, and there's no condemnation in that, but wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time for us to stand our ground and stand in the authority that God has given us and say, no more. My kids will not learn this stuff that's being funneled into the schools. They will not. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. That means you need to be active. You need to be engaged. You can't be too busy doing the affairs of business or the world that you have no idea what's going on in your family's life, the children's life, the church's life, the school's life. You need to pay attention. Yeah? Oh, Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you quicken our spirits to be sensitive and to be aware. Your Holy Spirit reveals all things to us, Lord. Help us to listen and pay attention, to be sensitive, to be involved in the affairs of our children, of our spouse, of the schools, of the city, the meetings that take place within the city, within the county, within the state, and within the country, Father. Help us to be aware. In Jesus' name. I know it seems a little bit heavy, but church, we have a responsibility. It's good news. It's really good news. You got something, Margie? Come on.
Stay right here with me. So we have prophetic intercession on Saturday morning and invite everybody to come because it's a special time But one of the things that the Lord spoke was, wakey, wakey, time to wake up. And so I think we need to declare that over ourselves, that our eyes are going to be open to see, that our ears are going to be open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, not just for that, but for you. Because we're ready for others to wake up. And God said, wake up, wakey, wakey. So I want everybody to repeat after me. Wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey.
Now begin to listen. Because we're not doing this just to be cute, but we're really doing it because it's like God truly wants to open our eyes to see some things we have not seen before and take you places that you've never been. And that he is fine-tuning, Matthew. There's a fine-tuning. There's a fine-tuning that starts in our homes, that starts in our church, and then as we go out. But we've got to be able to hear and to see and to fine-tune because, guys, I just want to tell you, there's people waiting on you. There's people waiting on you. So I just declare that and then exercise what we've done. Take that time to pull aside and listen. Take that time for God to begin to show you things that you begin to see. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, this week. Tuesday night, we do have our Biblical Worldview class, 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Today after service, be a brief, short serve team interest meeting. Great opportunity to start serving and start serving the local body and helping to step into your destiny. So just hang out here afterwards and we'll do that. Father, I just pray, Lord, as we all go today, help us to be the ecclesia. Help us to see the person in front of us. Like Heidi says, we'll stop for the one. Help us to stop for the one and release your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Consume Church Weekly Podcast. This entire service and others can be viewed on our Facebook and YouTube channels. If you would like to partner with us in raising the next generation of kingdom bringers, you can do so at theconsumechurch.com/give.